Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Been praying about this message for a while. The Lord began to pour it into me a while back, and cultivating a supernatural lifestyle. And one of the prerequisites for cultivating a supernatural lifestyle is a lens change from the Lord. And a lens change is the difference between the way that you used to see something and the way that you see it now. You know, those of us who wear glasses, you know, when you go to the optometrist, they put you behind that lens thing and they say what? Better, worse. Better, worse. A lot of times when you get your new pair of glasses, you don't realize how bad your old ones were till you get your new ones, right? But they're always trying to tweak it to where it's just right, where you can see perfectly. And I feel that the Lord is doing that in the spirit for us. He's asking, do you see things in my spirit better or worse? Do you see it better or worse? He's always trying to tweak it so that we see things that are clearer from the Lord. In the lens of opportunity, the Lord draws us through opportunity to see him and to know him better. I didn't always steward these things well. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family. And in the 70s, I went to St. Joe High School, and I worked at the Huddle at Notre Dame campus. It was a food place. And at that place, during that time, they were having the Charismatic Catholic Renewal. And I was a little freaked out by it. No, I was a lot freaked out by it. Because my boss would say, go ahead and sweep the floor. And I'm like, how? There were hundreds of people having these little prayer meetings. And they're all trying to reach over and lay hands on my foot while I'm trying to sweep the floor. And I'm going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they're trying to prophesy over me. And I'm going, I'm just trying to sweep the floor. And they were scaring me. And everything out of their mouth was, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we were not supposed to take tips. And this little boy spilled a shake. And his father asked me to clean it up. And I cleaned it up for him. And he stuck a 20 in my pocket. And I said, praise the Lord. You know? You're making about 30 bucks a week. And somebody sticks a 20 in your pocket. It's like, ooh. So that was the first time I said, praise the Lord. You know, and watching Christian television, even before I was a born-again Christian, I'd hear these preachers saying, the Lord said, and the Lord told me. And that used to irritate me. I mean, like, why is he telling you that? And he's not telling anybody else that, you know. And so I was on a quest to hear the voice of the Lord. And when I got saved, I got healed. And the first thing I heard from the Lord was that I healed you. It was the first time I heard the Holy Spirit voice. He healed me of a lung illness, and so it was awesome. And you know, one of the shifts that he had to also do for me, a lens change, was the whole thing with the gift of tongues. And it was one of those times where I was studying it, looking at it, and really thinking about it, and really praying about it. And the Lord totally set me up with an encounter with a friend of mine from high school. We were probably both voted the least likely to become born-again Christians. We were both on the football team. We ran into each other. And the Lord totally set me up. And we both got traffic tickets, and we were in court, and we were fighting the tickets. And then here we were, and the Lord had an encounter for me, for him to teach me about tongues. And so here was a lens change. In the middle of the day, I didn't speak in tongues. Later on that night, I spoke in tongues. So it was a difference. So it was a lens change. So here it was one time I didn't do it, and then later on that night I did. You know, and there was all kinds of things. You know, there was I never could understand this whole, the power of God and the slain and the spirit thing. That thing kind of, for a while there, I was like real critical of it. And I'd look at it and it was just emotional and all this stuff. So I started praying a prayer, and I really don't recommend this prayer. And if you're going to pray this prayer, make sure you tell your wives. Because I said, Lord, if you're going to do that for me, I said, I want you to take all the emotion out of it. I want to know that I know that I know it's you. I don't want anything of flesh in me. So the church I was pastoring at the time sent us down to Pensacola when the revival was out there. And we were in the first service, and they called the pastors up. First time visiting pastors, and we're up there. And Stephen Hill, who recently went to be with the Lord, I heard. And he came up to us, and he was probably 5 feet away from us. And he said, "Pastor, receive a fresh anointing." And he went like that, and he was 5 feet away. Well, our backs hit the ground, and we skid, laid there for about an hour. And I'm sitting there thinking, why did I pray that prayer? But the Lord took, there was no guessing if it was him or not. So I had a lens change in that moment while I laid on the floor getting revelation from the Lord for about an hour. I had a lens change about that whole thing. And the first time that someone gave me a prophecy was a friend of ours named Aretha, who they were part of our church congregation, and they had moved to southern Indiana. She calls me up one day, and she says, "Stan, I don't know what this means, but I see a really tall, big guy with brown hair, and he's weeping, and he's saying, I can't believe he's leaving. Can't believe he's leaving." And I had no idea what that meant. So fast forward a few years, I was the Lord called me out of a factory that where I'd worked for 25 years, and the Lord was working out this amazing plan of his to release me from the factory life. And I went in, and I gave my notice to the owner of the company, and then I asked him to let my boss know. I said, "He's not been real kind to me lately. He's been wanting things out of me." I said, "You know, he's been pressing me for things, and we're friends, but he's just not being real kind, and I don't know that I can tell him." I said, "You need to tell him." So then a little while later, he comes around my machine, and I looked at him, and his eyes looked like he'd been crying, and I thought, what is that all about? All of a sudden, that word of prophecy hit me, and it was him. He fit the description, and all of a sudden, you know, and then later on, I went up to him and said, "We're going to talk about this." I says, "Is this where you give me a hug?" He said, "You're not getting a hug from me." But it was an amazing thing where that was the first time, and it took years. It took 3 years. But the minute that it was fulfilled, I knew it in my spirit. A lens change. In that moment, I had a lens change. Because I heard prophecies and I heard the words of knowledge and all these things. Didn't know where it fit in my paradigm. And so cultivating a supernatural lifestyle is being open to the expressions that God uses in our lives. Being open to all the things that are available to him as he makes them available to us. Amen. And the more time that we spend in a place of intimacy with the Lord, the more he tweaks the lens. Better, worse. Is it better or worse? He's always wanting us to see him and all that he does clearer. You know, time in the secret place makes all things clearer. It's where love abounds, and in the secret place is where love makes sense. And it's in that place where love attracts his presence. Supernatural, the definition of supernatural, I like to go to the old dictionaries first, because they, the ones that are about 40, 50, 60 years old, because they don't have Twitter in there, and they don't have texting and all these different modern words in there, and they were more from a Christian bent about 50, 60 years ago. So supernatural says something that is existing or occurring outside the normal experience of the knowledge of man. Supernatural is always also something that is not explained by known forces or laws of nature. Supernatural is involving things outside normal bounds that can only be attributed to God. And the new dictionary say, or a God. Activity attributed to ghosts, spirits, or the occult is in the newer dictionaries. See, the enemy has his people accessing realms illegally, where God's people have legal access through Jesus Christ. Amen? So counterfeit. The enemy is always about the counterfeit. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, Paul is addressing false apostles. And he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Satan is always about counterfeiting the things of God. He's not an original guy. He's about trying to draw you away, draw people into his camp who are not in the camp of the Lord through the supernatural things that he has counterfeited. The definition of counterfeit is made an imitation of something genuine so as to deceive. Think about the counterfeit bills. You know, the people who look at counterfeit money, they don't spend time studying the counterfeit bills. They spend time studying the authentic bills so they can recognize the counterfeit. Counterfeit is also to resemble closely as to mislead. Counterfeit is also an imposter and a cheat. In John 8:44, Jesus says about Satan, he's a liar and the father of lies. In Acts 8, some of the counterfeit things. I love the encounter that Peter and John had with Simon the sorcerer. He performed magic. And I was always amazed at one that his title was the great power of God. And he did magic. And so here come Peter and John, and they begin to lay hands on people, and they're receiving the Holy Spirit. He receives the Holy Spirit. Simon gets saved, but then he sees them laying hands on people, and he wants that gift. And he wants to give them money to get the gift to lay hands on people so they get the Holy Spirit. That was really twisted, you know? And so they straightened him out, you know, and they straightened him out right in that moment. But that's the way that the enemy tries to twist things, tries to twist him in his favor. And then in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they encounter the slave girl with the spirit of divination, where she's fortune-telling and making a ton of money for her slave owners, right? And so I always find it interesting that she's following them around, annoying them by calling them bondservants of the Most High God. Well, they were, but I'm sure they got really annoying really fast, and she did it for days. So he turns around, and he rebukes, and he calls that demon out of her, and then she's done. She's out of work. She's out of a job. And they get thrown in jail, and they get flogged, beaten, and at midnight, they're worshiping the Lord. The jail flies open. All this stuff happens, and everybody gets loose, and the jailer gets saved. And all these things happen because he called out the spirit. He called out the counterfeit. He called it out. And then all these things happen after that. But see, that's why there's such a draw to tarot cards and psychics now. They have all their psychic network and all this stuff, everything, and astrology and all this stuff. People are hungry for supernatural experiences, but they don't know the authentic in the Lord from the counterfeit. And they're drawn to this stuff. And it's up to us to get them in the kingdom of God and their eyes to be open to the authentic that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In cultivating a supernatural lifestyle, we must be discerning out of that secret place of the Lord. We must always be discerning what is the counterfeit and what is the truth. You know, and if we're skeptical, it's okay to be skeptical. It's okay to be cautious. But when the Lord shows you the real thing, then it's up to you to be able to step into the other thing and have that lens adjusted, better, worse, better, worse. You know, early in my Christian walk with some of the experiences and for some of the people around me that were experiencing things before me, I didn't always handle it well. And I offended people close to me because I didn't know how to handle things that they were experiencing. But you know what's funny about that? Then when you experience it, then it's okay, you know? We really need healing from that, and I needed healing from that, you know? And so it's one of those things that gets you into that, that gets you into trouble, but to have an open heart and an open mind before the Lord. See, because we are the bride of Christ, amen? And Revelations 19:7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." It doesn't say the Father made the bride ready. It says the bride has made herself ready. And it's up to us to make ourselves ready. And it's up to us to be able to know what to do with the experience that God has us, the things that he allows us to experience, dreams and visions, signs and wonders. What do we do with this stuff when the Lord brings it our way? How do we steward it, and what do we do with it? And what comes out of our mouth is in our heart concerning these things. So I want us to look at some of the Lord's expressions of the supernatural lifestyle. The first one is heaven. Did you know that there's 422 references in the Bible concerning heaven? Heaven, heavenly, and other things. There's 422 references. In Matthew 6, 9 through 10, it says, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. To experience things on earth as it is in heaven. And holy is your name. See, I believe that the Lord wants us to interact with heaven daily. And that's a lens change for some of us. to interact with heaven daily. Because there's a lot of weird thinking about heaven. It's a lot of weird quotes. I looked up some weird quotes and I thought, I'm not even going to say those. I'm not even going to say them. There's a lot of weird thinking about heaven. And I grew up as heaven as this unattainable thing that I hope that somebody somewhere is going to pray me in. And I have no way of really knowing. I live my young life in such fear of not ever really knowing. And I didn't like to go to funerals because I'd look at people in the casket and say, did they make it? I didn't know, and I didn't want to know, and I was like freaked out by it. So it's one of those things where there's a lot of weird thinking and a lot of weird theology about heaven. It's out there. But I believe that the Lord wants us to interact with it on a daily basis. So when in Matthew 16, 19, right after Peter's confession, when the Lord is asking, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so then all of a sudden, he calls him Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, he didn't say it will be one day. If you pray, it might be loosed, could be loosed, it could be bound one day. You know, he said, whatever you loose, it'll be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind. You know, there's times when we prayed for people and watch them get loose from a curse that's been on their family for years, or for stuff that's been on them, for demonic that's been on them for years. And all of a sudden, they're set free. And you know what? I believe that there's angels in heaven going, oh, Penny must have just been praying. Somebody got loosed. Somebody in the jail got loosed, right? So I believe that you know, it's a way for us to interact on a daily basis, on a regular basis. He's given us the keys. You know, we get into our house with a key. We start our cars with a key, except the newer ones. You got a little clicker thing now. But the keys open up things for us. You know, those guys who take care of, like, big properties, managers, they got these gigantic ring of keys. But they know where everyone goes. You know, and Jesus has given Peter, which he's given to us, the keys of the kingdom. And we know what every one of those are and what they go to.